Hi, I'm Chrissy.
I'm Joss, and you're listening to Breaking the Curtain,
the podcast where we interview our theater idols and chat all about the history behind your favorite musicals.
So sit back,
relax,
and enjoy the episode.
Hello, and welcome to Breaking the Curtain. If it's your first time listening, I'm Chris.
And I'm Joss. Chris, how are you today? Because I'm sure you're very excited for the show we're going to be chatting about.
I am very excited, but before we got on this Zoom, Jocelyn informed me that I am sunburnt in the face.
Not like bad sunburnt. She doesn't look like a lobster. She's just pink.
Yeah, I'm pink. So this entire interview, I've been looking like a blushing tomato. I feel like that fits with the theme of The Notebook. There's just a lot of love in my heart and in my face today.
There's a lot of blushing.
However, it's getting progressively worse, unfortunately, for me.
Chrissy does look beautifully, beautifully tan, though, which is highly unfortunate for me because if the sun even looks at me, I'm a lobster.
My arms look beautifully tanned, but my face is giving putting too much rare beauty blush on your face.
So today we are joined by a very special guest from the Tony-nominated musical, The Notebook.
I have been saying this since the first preview. This performer that we are chatting with today is my favorite of the season. She is beyond talented and just has the most uniquely beautiful voice. And so we are thrilled to announce that we are chatting with Jordan Tyson, who is currently starring as young Allie.
Oh my gosh, Jordan is so phenomenal. Like, obviously, she's super duper talented and amazing, but like as a human,
the sweetest.
We had so much fun chatting with her.
Yeah.
It was such a great vibe in the Zoom room, mm-hmm. which, as you know, I'm always a fan of when it feels like we're just a couple pals meeting up for a chat.
Yeah, I know we both said that one of our goals this year was to chat with an Allie and a Noah from The Notebook. So I think it's so great that we finally did that. We chatted with Ryan Vasquez about a month and a half ago, something like that. So it's cool to get a different perspective from someone who is playing Allie, because as you know, six actors in total are sharing these roles.
Play Noah and Allie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's three Allies, three Noahs, which I think is just the coolest thing ever.
It is super cool.
And works so incredibly well. I love
this show. It's so cool, especially for The Notebook, which is like a memory play. It falls under the...
Exactly.
That is what it is, right? To have multiple actors playing these people at different times in their lives is very fun.
It's very fun. It's very special.
We love The Notebook here at Breaking the Curtain, and we are very excited to share that love with you by bringing on some of their super talented people. So without any more yapping from us, we will go ahead and introduce you to the wonderful Jordan Tyson. Jordan, welcome to Breaking the Curtain. We are so excited to have you here today. We would love to start by having you introduce yourself to our audience and share what first sparked your love of theater.
Oh my goodness. Hello. Thank you for that. I'm Jordan Tyson. I'm currently in The Notebook on Broadway playing young Allie. And what first sparked my love for theater was In the Heights. Mm. I did that in my sophomore year of high school and just thought I probably should do this for the rest of my life. and then I just have been pounding the pavement ever since.
I mean, what a great show to spark your love of theater.
I know.
That's epic.
And I did Beauty and the Beast the year before, and I was like, I don't think I'm going to join this year.
Yeah.
But my teacher made me, and it was In the Heights that year, and I was like, okay.
You're playing younger Allie in The Notebook. Can you tell us a bit about her character journey and what the experience has been like in sharing her story with two other actresses?
Oh my goodness. It's so, it's such a blessing to play her. You know, she's the youngest voice in the show, period. I mean, even Noah, even younger Noah is 2 years older than her at the time that they meet. And she's really on the precipice of being free and she's a young woman, you know, and finding her voice, finding her confidence, finding all of these things that make her unique. You know, and not sort of adhering to what her parents have always told her she has to do, and what the world has told her she has to do. And so when she meets Noah, he is that one of the only voices in her life that allows her to say the truth of herself, you know, and to express herself without changing anything about herself. And yeah, so then I get to play that youngest version that then turns into Joy Woods' middle Allie and then Marianne Plunkett's older Allie. And it's just been a big lesson in observing and listening and all of that, because even textually, you hear the same fragments repeated and repeated. Even right at the top of the show, the first scene that older Allie is in, she says something like, "They've got me in a goddamn cage," right? And in the big turning point song for young Allie's life, I say, "I feel like I'm a bird in a rage in a cage." So then it's like, okay, that seed started when she was, what, 17? And she still is talking with the same sort of language when she's in her 70s. So all of that kind of stuff is awesome. And we all have this ongoing conversation about what she moves like and all of that. So it's been really, really wonderful.
And the score is so beautiful for that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really a true Broadway score in the sense that it has so many like calls and responses across the timelines and across the different songs and those little like thematic musical things that come in and out. It's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I also think, too, it is a true Broadway score because, you know, we have those echoes, but also then, you know, you have a pop song that you could sing just with keys or a guitar. Then you have this like huge orchestra sound.
Yeah.
It's, you know, although there's a gong, there's a harp, there's all this thing, all these, you know, all these instruments that make it just swell in a way. It's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I have genuinely not stopped listening to the cast recording for this entire month that it's been released. I am obsessed. I mean, it is some of the best storytelling and vocals that I have ever heard.
Oh, my goodness.
What has it been like working with Ingrid Michaelson?
I mean, I was an Ingrid fan since I was like 8 or something. Mm-hmm. You know, it was sort of mind-boggling. You know, as time went on, I was like, okay, it's just Ingrid. She's a person, right? But I just looked at her and I go, wow, like, without even thinking about it, I know your songs. It's those kinds of canon songs in our youth where it's just like, oh, yeah, that defined my childhood in some way or in some chapter, which has been really cool. But she's also really, you know, I think there's a misunderstanding about pop music that it's not, you know, highbrow or whatever. But there's such... She has such attention to detail and, you know, such a, she has so many preferences on the way that she wants things sung and the way that she wants things to sound. So it's been really, really awesome to learn her style, which wasn't necessarily what I was coming with as my own sort of baseline of singing. So it's been really cool. I feel like I've expanded my skill set singing her music.
And it is absolutely incredible to have someone who comes from the world of pop music to transition into kind of the world of Broadway so easily. Like, like you said, the attention to detail is absolutely incredible. Like, this is probably one of my favorite cast albums of the season.
Absolutely.
Because it is so beautiful and detailed and everything is so thought out and given so much thought. It is a beautiful, sweeping Broadway score. Like, to listen to it in its entirety, it's like bone-chilling.
It's so, I know, you know, I sing this music every night, and we also, we had a listening party, the whole cast and all the musicians who worked on it. We had a listening party before it officially was released, right? And I'm like, okay, I listen to this every single day. But without seeing any of the staging and all of that, we just sat and closed our eyes. I was like, wow, like, I'm still so moved just from hearing it. It's really like a digital sort of storybook, you know, that if you just put your headphones in and listen to it from beginning to end, you get it. And you're crying by the end, which that doesn't necessarily happen on any kind of album, you know, like someone releases an EP or something. You're not necessarily like, oh my gosh, wow, this person. But with this and even just a few of the lines from the script included, it just like takes you exactly where the story goes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I made the mistake of listening to it all the way through when I was on the train in public for the first time.
I'm so sorry.
It wasn't cute. It wasn't cute, but it was worth it.
Did you at least have sunglasses or a tissue? Yeah, no. That's bad. I'm
but,
so
you
sorry.
Know, it's the GO train. No, like, it's nobody's paying attention. Nobody's listening.
Yeah. 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 That you seeing somebody cry on the train is like the least of my concerns.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, honestly, I get it, girl.
Oh, yeah.
You're well.
Oh, yeah.
Been there.
Yes.
We actually had Ryan on the podcast a few weeks ago, and we discussed with him how so many people have like a core memory of watching The Notebook for the very first time because it's just so iconic. And I think it's one of those movies where it's like possibly the first time you had a really big cry or reaction to a film, at least for our generation, I think.
Yeah.
Do you remember your first time watching the movie?
I cannot remember the first time because of how many times I've seen it.
Yes, of course.
I can say that every time I've seen it, I have cried. But I just remember looking at Rachel McAdams and saying, I want to be her. Mm-hmm. Just look at how beautiful she is and how sort of just mercurial she is. She just is free. She's free. And also, I mean, it's just, oh, it's so delicious. They're just having so much fun before it all goes wrong,
you know,
but it's just so good.
It is so good. It is. Yeah. Honestly, I can't even really remember my first time watching The Notebook because I take something new from it through every rewatch that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, that's a new reaction that I have to this film through like my first love or my first heartbreak. And
right.
I think that's why it's so universal and loved.
I haven't seen it in a while because actually, I think it came on TV recently and I was like, I started to watch it and I was like, can you stop? Like, can you just... Can you take 5 seconds away from this story?
Yeah.
But I wonder how I would feel watching it now or maybe like in a year or two or something.
Mm-hmm.
Probably different too.
You know, that's so funny that you mentioned watching it when it comes on TV because I do that as well, obviously.
Yes.
But they changed so much in the TV version. There's a lot they cut. Which is so weird. And I realized it only watching it a few months ago for Valentine's Day when
what?
I was on TV. Yeah.
I didn't even know that there was like a different thing for TV. What?
Yeah. I don't know. I've seen a few different versions that I guess each channel puts out, but they've all never been like the version I grew up watching on the DVD.
Wait, so how does it end though?
Yeah. So it's like, obviously the ending still happens, but you don't see it. So, like, I think, like, the nurse goes to check and then it goes to the end credits.
But you know what happened.
You know what happened, but, like, it just cuts out the bed scene with Noah and Allie.
There are, like, worse things on TV. I don't know.
There's exactly
worse things on exactly TV. That. They
okay.
were trying to spare our emotions, I think. But, you know what? Give me
wow.
the ending anyways.
We know. And we're
we
still
know what
crying.
Happens. Yeah. We're still crying. Exactly.
You know, I remember my first time watching The Notebook because I watched it very recently for the first time ever.
Yes.
At 26 years old.
Love.
And Chrissy and I watched it together. And it was like this like guttural like gasp that came mm-hmm. out of me. It
well,
was very
we,
dramatic.
We literally had that happen in our theater live one day. So we're I forget when it was. I mean, time is non-existent now. I don't know what it is, but we're at the end. You know, the big event has happened,
mm-hmm.
and there's like a moment of silence before we go into the last song, the coda, and all you hear is. And I said, "What the hell?" And then you hear, "Sorry." And like, it was such a beautiful moment for the whole audience because then everybody started giggling a little bit and they were like, oh, thank God I'm not the only one like sitting here not being well.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Honestly,
so
me at home listening to Coda. Yeah. Got it.
Oh, I love the Coda.
I feel
probably
it's
my
so
favorite.
Really? I love what people's favorites are. They're all different.
It's mine just changes so daily.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
You know what? When she sings all the time, she sings your song all the time. She sings
Kiss Me. Yeah, that's my favorite.
I love Kiss Me.
So good. I also love Iron in the Fridge. That one that's really my favorite. Gets me. It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Iron in the Fridge is my absolute favorite. It's just so like.
Yeah.
Actually, sometimes people giggle at the beginning because of the lyric, and then they go,
Oh shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I missed it really quick. Okay. Now we're back. Yeah. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. I can understand that.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
It's good. Yeah.
So good.
It's also just, I think, a very human reaction to that sort of stuff. Like, we're always kind of like, Oh wait, yeah.
How can I make this the least like guttural, gut-wrenching experience? Just laugh. Which there is a lot of laughing in the show. Yes. Have you both seen it? Yes.
Not yet.
Have not, because we're up in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
hopefully this summer.
Yeah, I love Canada. Okay, but when you come, you might cry, but you're gonna laugh too. It's really, really, really funny. It has to be, or else it would be just completely, like, not watchable.
For sure. I agree. I totally agree. And the movie itself is, like, has so many, like, giggle moments that are funny, too. Yeah. So, like, you know. And I love that you – I like that you can have both. It's very human to have both.
Yeah, you have to. That's life, I mean.
Sadness and joy.
Sadness and joy.
Now, we've talked about the score being incredible, but there's also a lot of really cool things just happening within the set itself. You have the iconic rain scene. There's even water, like, built into the stage. Have you had any mishaps?
Yeah, there have. I mean, this was, I keep telling this story that, I mean, the first ever mishap actually happened in Chicago with me as the ending is coming. And memories are swirling around the stage, which means I am swirling around the stage. And I swear, I don't know if you've ever played softball, but so they teach you when you slide into a base, you're supposed to make the number 4 with your legs. You
pull
up your foot to the back of your knee and you slide with one leg, right? That's what I did. On stage.
No.
That's what I did on stage as the end is happening, and it's this big, dramatic, heart-wrenching moment, and I just go down, and of course, it was the final dress rehearsal, so our first ever audience with people outside of our creative team, and at least it was like family and friends, but all you hear is, like, you know when people jump up in Wii Sports if you, like, lose the ball? That's what it sounded like. Like, oh, my God. Just an inhale. It was so bad. And I just was like, I hate my life. But guess what? I have to get up and go. In reality, it probably took, like, 3 seconds for me to actually pop back up. But it felt like forever. And I just get up and I start laughing and continue on and everything. Going.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you do it.
I mean, what else can you do, right? There exactly. isn't much else.
Yeah. So David Zinn and Brett Benakis and Matthew Buttry went through many, 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 many meetings to texturize the floor and find out ways for us to get our costume shoes to be more texturized so that we just don't move, you know, when there's water.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something I didn't even think about. I didn't think about the floor having to be different because of the water. I'm very glad you brought that up because that's just, that makes sense.
There are so many little things. It is so cool to be, I mean, actually, that might be one of my favorite parts of quote unquote being on Broadway. It's just like watching the minds of the people in different departments do their work at the highest level too. You know, thinking, oh, wow, yeah, you have to texturize the floor. And texturize the floor inside of the pool because it might get slippery and also have rubber or something bottoms on shoes and the costume department. All of these little hacks they have just because so many of them have been working for so long and have seen it all. You know, it's very cool. And you learn a lot. I have a lot of life skills because of just watching people do their thing.
How was the Today Show, by the way? We loved watching you yesterday morning.
Oh my God.
So good.
It was great. It was great. None of us could believe that we were doing it because mm-hmm. we had a show the night before. We had a two-show day the day before. So, I mean, I even slept over at a cast member's house because my house, I was like, I'm not going back to Brooklyn tonight. There's no way I would get three hours of sleep, if that too, maybe.
Yeah.
But it was really awesome. Somehow we were warm enough to sing. It's like our bodies were still warm from the night before. But it was really, it was really cool. And it felt exciting because I know that I used to watch the Today Show performances when I was growing up and saying, oh, wow, how did they do that? I want to be there. I want to do that. Mm-hmm. And now I was like, oh, here I am.
And you had such a lovely segment too. Like it yes. showed so much of the show, right? You got to really kind of share all the different journeys that are happening. It was stunning.
Yeah. I think they were good pieces, good pieces. And there's still so much more, mm-hmm. but that's, I mean, how much can you show like of an entire life? I always think about the stories, like our show is what, 2 hours and 15 minutes or something, mm-hmm. but that's only because they skipped around in the book, you know. What could have been other poignant moments in their lives, you know. Mm-hmm. That's, I wonder that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, it's hard to condense a whole life into 2.5 hours.
Yeah,
it is unbelievably. Yeah. Yes.
So we asked our listeners on Instagram to submit questions, and we selected this one.
Ooh,
from
okay.
TheaterNerd98, who wants to know, how has your version of Ally changed over the years?
Oh my goodness.
Isn't that a great
one? I love
one?
This question.
Right?
It really is. And you're coming to me at a time where I feel like I've just had a big sort of revelation with the character.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the biggest way she's grown over the years is just like, it's sort of like a mutual unfolding, because young Allie has allowed me to expand my voice and to not be afraid to speak and to completely open myself to be vulnerable, and vice versa. Like I've given her voice and, you know, learned to let rage live in, you know, in this girl's life and in my own. I wish there was a better way to say that. I just feel like my voice and my truth has become day by day with her, just like I've just opened up with no restraint and not worrying about anyone else, you know, anyone else's opinions. I think we've given that to each other, honestly.
Yeah, that's beautifully said.
I love that so much.
Yeah. And I just like hope that that's what some young people are getting too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautifully said. Love that.
It's gorgeous. I love
great
that.
Great question.
It was a really good one. I was like, that's the one. That is
yes!
the one.
Yes. I love it.
All right, so we have one last question of the day, and I love this one. So what do you hope audiences take away from seeing The Notebook on Broadway?
Oh my goodness. I think that I hope people take away just some sort of permission to be vulnerable and permission to love and to know that they are lovable too. You know, these people believe in themselves and believe so much in their person that they open their heart up enough to say, you might reject me, but I'm gonna go for it anyway. And I feel like in so many ways our culture and our society has shut us down in a way to say, play it safe. Maybe they won't like me. Maybe they blah, blah, blah. So I just hope that people see this story, recognize that, like, I think we all want this love, whatever it might look like to you. We all want to be accepted in this way with that love. And just, like, let that in and be vulnerable.
I love that Aww. So much. That just made my heart smile.
Yay!
Yeah. That really is, again, beautifully said. It hits. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're so right. It's such, like, a thing these days to, like, really try and close yourself off from that vulnerability and being vulnerable and open to love. And isn't that a beautiful mm-hmm. message to take away? To kind of let yourself do that with grace.
Yeah, and, like, romance is not corny. Romance is everything. It's literally, like, if you don't have that, you don't have a happy life. Whether that means, like, romancing your friends or yourself or your whoever. It's just, like, you guys, you need this.
It's so true.
You need this.
So true.
What is it? It's on TikTok, right? The romanticize your life, like, the little things. Like,
yeah. Like, I'm making my little French press and like I'm at a cafe. I don't know.
Exactly. And your space looks so cozy. I see the flowers beside you. I'm like, yes, this is
I have some
amazing.
Plants. I wish you could see it all. I'm actually, like, redoing my whole house. I just bought a new couch. I feel like I'm just, like, grown up.
Nice. It's nice. Totally I always love a redecorating moment.
Same.
Yeah, it feels like fresh, and I get to throw things out too. Which
yes,
is nice.
I need to do that. I need to go through a little
stuff.
Yeah,
you're gonna feel so good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like, yeah. For sure. I put on clean bed sheets today, and that is, like, the most romantic part of my life right now. I cleaned my bedding and changed it the same day.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, because you know that when you change it, you're gonna go about your whole day, and then you're gonna come at night. And you can say, wow, like, I get to lay in this nice, fresh bed.
Yes.
Clean pajamas, clean bed. That's the trio going into the weekend.
You're doing it. You're doing it right.
That is high romance.
You put on the notebook, cast recording, and you just lounge. Take it all in, baby. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Jordan, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been literally the biggest honor to have you with us.
So much fun.
I loved this chat.
You guys. Thank you so much. I likewise, and you have to just tell us when you come to
absolutely.
New York and come see the show, because we would love to show you around and I don't know, talk in person.
For sure.
Of course. We will keep you posted when we can get there.
Okay.
Very
great.
Soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Have a great
Jordan.
Rest of your day and a good show.
You too. Thank you. Bye.